We used about 5 of the learning innovation kits. And as you're unboxing it, the students are like fist pumping. They're like, yes, it's like the innovation time, and they can't wait. And when they're done, they're like, can we keep doing this? So you know you're onto something when you have that reaction from students. And you know you're onto something because of the thinking and the student discourse that was happening at that station.
Welcome to Learning Unboxed, a conversation about teaching, learning, and the future of work. I'm your host and chief goddess of the PASS Foundation, Annalise Corbin. We know the current model for education is obsolete. It was designed to create fleets of assembly line workers, not the thinkers and problem solvers needed today. We've seen the innovations that are possible within education, and it's our goal to leave the box behind and reimagine what education can look like in your own backyard. Welcome to Learning Unboxed. As always, I'm excited to talk with another great innovator in the transformative education space. And today we are going to be talking about the PAST Foundation's Portable Innovation Labs as a positive disruptor in how we think about the concept of what is school and why does it matter. And joining us today is Jessica Fields, a 21st century learning coach at Grandview Heights Schools here in Ohio. So Jessica, welcome to Learning Unboxed.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, I'm excited to have this conversation. You're the first educator that we are having on the program after launching this program, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. But to set some context for our listeners, as we get started, a little bit about Jessica, who has a great passion for helping educators, and I love this, put wheels on their ideas and knocking down the barriers to their success. And we love that very much. And one of the ways that she has found to do that is as a frequent facilitator of the PAST Portable Innovation Labs. And so, Jessica, let's start first and foremost with why innovative ideas as they come towards you and the opportunity to have facilitated help and support. And we'll sort of dig into the way this project works as we kind of go along. But why is some type of innovative program that, you know, sort of knocks on your door? In your role and your multiple roles that you've had over the years as an educator, why is this meaningful?
Yeah, so, you know, as an educator, you're constantly going to professional developments, you're meeting people, your brain is consumed with these ideas and possibilities where it almost gets to like shutdown mode. In my current role, it is a K-12 all subject area. So I'm kind of always trying to be in different areas and arenas to learn as much as I can. So when I stumbled upon the innovation labs, I was like, this is such a problem solution for me. My problem was I had so many ideas, but I didn't know where to exactly start to have the most success. On top of that, as an instructional coach, you're trying your best to align it with the content standards to make sure teachers see the value, not only in the thinking process that students go through with any type of inquiry or innovation or creativity, but also that it is, you know, amping up the standards in which they are required to put in front of students. So when I found these, I was like, this helps me so much, not only in time and energy, but I've connected with people that have done it. We have examples from the classroom. So everything as a coach that I need for adult learning in this area, it's delivered to me in a box.
Yeah.
It's like perfect.
Yeah. We love that. And that was entirely what it was designed to do. So for our listeners, let's just set just a slight bit of context about sort of what all of this portable innovation lab sort of thing idea is. You know, and these labs are based on the idea of 25 years of PAST Foundation's work around creating innovative STEM opportunities for students and for educators, quite frankly, to really explore the diversity, if you will, of what does it mean to be STEM literate or to think about STEM careers or just to have that real solid foundational understanding, honestly, of what's possible in the world, right? That's the beauty of it. And so in partnership with a business and industry partner that we have here in Ohio called Battelle, they have helped really with funding and ideas and support around creating these series of these portable innovation labs. So as you heard Jessica talking about, these really robust STEM concepts that are in a box, right? And then to be able to deploy them to schools, to libraries, to after-school programs, to really get kids and educators jazzed about teaching things that they may know nothing about. And I think that's one of the beautiful things. And so, you know, you might not know a thing about 3D printing or creating birds' nests or, you know, any of that kind of stuff. But through this, you're going to have that opportunity to give that a try. So Jessica, just share with us a little bit about like some of the actual labs you've done and why you like or love that particular one and some of the sort of feedback from the students, from the educators, from families.
You know, and as I was reflecting on last year, we used about 5 of the learning innovation kits. And I always remember as you're unboxing it, no joke, the students are like fist pumping. They're like, yes, it's like the innovation time and they can't wait. And when they're done, they're like, can we keep doing this? So you know you're onto something when you have that reaction from students. And you know you're onto something because of the thinking and the student discourse that was happening at that station. So for example, we did the bird's nest ones and we did that around May. And so they went out and they like created these bird's nests, but then we made it a connection to the families where they gifted it to, if they have a mother, they gifted it to their mother or a grandparent or someone for Mother's Day with a little note. One really popular one was the RVR Rovers, and we did a whole unit on autonomous driving. And then we kind of really connected that to second grade where they study how technology has affected, you know, change in transportation. And so we had guest speakers from Drive Ohio, which I know you guys partner with Rich Granger. And the students took this concept of the RVR and then they were able to design what they believe a car will look like in 30 years or transportation, I should say, because we don't even know if it's going to just be a car, a vehicle. We've done the 3D printing, and that was really special because we did it with our 8th grade students, and they were moving into the high school. So we are in a unique scenario where our middle school is 5 years, so they're grades 4 through 8. And we asked them, what is a legacy that you have left in this building? And they created a model in the Tinker to be printed, and they gifted that to somebody before they left and moved on to the high school. One for our littles, if you're like a kindergarten or a first grade teacher, was the Goodnight series. So we did 2 of them, but probably the most popular one was Goodnight Veterinarian.
Yeah.
And it had all the toolkits. They dressed up like a veterinarian.
All the little plush stuffies. Yep.
Yeah. So I hope I'm answering your question in that the excitement is real. The learning is applicable. And we did it in a scenario in which we have a STEAM center. So there are 6 stations going on at the same time, and they ran themselves. The materials we had in there, the curriculum that was associated with it, it ran itself. So it was easy to be a teacher and learn while you were implementing. You didn't need to know it all to get started.
Yeah. And that was part of the idea, right? Because we wanted to see this project as an opportunity to get really innovative concepts, ideas, materials, technology, right? That, you know, you might be familiar with spheros, but you might not have necessarily used them, or you might not even have a set of these or the RVRs, or there's so many different, there's 40 of these now, right? And so you might not have that thing in your classroom or in your school, but you would love to be able to play with it and let your kids explore with it, right? And so this was a mechanism for that, but it was also a mechanism to say, look, you know, maybe you are, and I'm just going to use this example, and I am not picking on ELA people. That's not what this is about. You know, so maybe, you know, you are an English teacher, but you would like to be able to show the connections of technology to something that your kids, your high school kids are reading, let's say, right? So we could bring technology in. You could be able to make those connections to be able to use this no matter what the subject matter is. But because of what you typically do or teach in any given day, you might not know how to run that thing. Right. And so we wanted to make sure that it's easy, but it's also applicable and standards aligned. So that's pretty awesome. You know, and so what has the experience been on, you know, hey, I don't know how to do this. Is the support that you need, is it there to make it possible?
So I want to hit on two things that you said as you were speaking that I thought about this. You talked about, I just want to play with the spheros. Like, as a STEAM educator, I knew what a sphero was, but that was like 7 years ago. It's hard to stay up to date with the changes. So even my teachers who have used STEM equipment in the past, what this has afforded us is to see the updated products and try it out before we move forward, because that can be a cost for districts, is to purchase that. And you don't want to purchase something and have a false start.
Right.
You hit on the English teacher as well. And I was a high school English teacher. And I was so ready for these augmented, the VRs that you guys have as a new kit.
Yeah.
And I was like, I think back to when I was in the high school English classroom, and to bring to life, like with CoSpaces, yeah, that book or that series, and then make work-based connections. So, for example, my cousin, her husband, he works globally designing stores, but all he does is puts on an RV and they walk him around the store and he gives them feedback. He doesn't have to fly over, you know, fly somewhere to give feedback. So connecting it to the real world application, like, has been huge. So to your question of like, what does that mean for a teacher who doesn't know where to get started? They feel the excitement. Yeah. And then we hire the best of the best. They know our students. They know their content area. They know learning. If they see success, it just takes off. And so when you talk about support, the PASS Foundation, if I emailed, immediately answered my question, hey, could you pop over and show us that? We, as you get the kits, you get a hands-on explanation of it. But the support that I provided for those teachers who were just a little bit more worried, it made it doable for them. Right. It was easy. Because your staff would be over and help us. If it's not local, it's a Google Meet.
Yeah, makes it easy. And that's, you know, really, really an important element of all of this, is to make sure that everything is absolutely accessible, right? And that you're willing to give it a try. So I really love the way that you have sort of leaned into this as a district, to grab a hold of what's going on with all of that. So I'm also super curious, did you hear from families?
Yeah. So we have events that families are brought in to showcase like student work. And we also have something called Science Day. So it's an all-day event. We have a lot of family volunteers. And so what would happen is, let's say we did either in our STEAM Center or at the Science Day station, they would do the spheros. I would get emails from parents like, they won't let it go. They want me to buy one for home. Can you talk me through this? Is it safe? You know what I mean? What kind of device do I need to run it? For the bird's nest one, it was like pictures that parents sent to our media specialist, as the one who led that innovation lab, pictures of them with their moms, with their bird's nest. Sometimes I have the pleasure of pushing in for STEAM instead of them coming to the STEAM station. And so I go between all buildings and all classrooms. So I'm not like the constant, right? But I'll meet parents and they're like, oh, you're Jessica, Mrs. Fields. My kid talked about, so it's always this, they kind of know who I am, but I'm in the background because I am a support of teachers. But they talk about how excited their students are and that they know that when they go to a new grade level, they get a new STEAM challenge.
Are you ready to join the movement to revolutionize education? Stay tuned for the full unveiling of my forthcoming book, Hacking School, 5 Strategies to Link Learning to Life, where we'll dive deeper into these topics and unlock key strategies to educational transformation. If you want to stay in the know, sign up for notifications at PASSfoundation.org/hacking-school.
So it's exciting to see that the families are embracing with you all, right? That's a really wonderful thing. I guess at the heart of all of this, a couple of things. One, we really, really were hoping that through all of these labs that students and educators could explore a plethora of concepts and ideas that they might not have spent any time on, right? Because it might not have just come up. Or through these labs, they would learn how to take a variety of different whether it be technology, and they're not all technology-based. Let's be really clear. Some have very little technology involved in them at all, especially like some of the ones that we're using with the Goodnight Little series, so for example. But there are others that are like that as well. But just really to say, I'm going to take a different sort of set of materials, and I'm going to be able then to apply these activities and have them enhance the concepts that I'm just naturally teaching in the course of my teaching load, right? Whether it's because of my subject area or the things that my kids are naturally interested in. But this is really going to help us sort of explore some of those pieces. One of the other hopes, in full transparency, is that we're really hoping that getting access and utilizing these on an ongoing and regular basis will inform and impact an educator's practice in their classroom, right? That they will be willing to move into more of an innovative style of engaging with their students. In your role, sort of as facilitator and coach across the district, are you seeing some of these things start to happen?
That's interesting because I came from a previous district. I came to Grandview 5 years ago. And what I was most impressed with when I first came in was like, they are so student-centered. They're okay with learning being messy.
Yeah.
They will, if you have an idea, they'll like say, let's do it. Let's try it out. Like they're really flexible. So I didn't run into those things of, okay, everyone's going to sit still and listen to me. That's not present in my current district. So I didn't come up against that. I think one of our biggest factors is always time.
Yeah.
And you want to meet your students' needs, but you also know you have this set of curriculum that you really want to get through. So sometimes it's just, I think what you said, amplifying a current instructional piece. So one that we haven't done that we're going to be doing this year is fairy tale forensics.
That one is so much fun. Brace yourself.
So it's not technology yeah. based. We're going to start with our elementaries, and we're going to talk about collaboration. And then we are shifting it to our middle school and our fifth grade. They do a whole fairy tale unit. So it's able to amplify what they're already doing. And it's really just the time issue. Yeah. You just only have so much time with the students. And so the fact that they're making time for these boxes, it means that it's valuable.
Yeah.
You talk about elevating a lesson. Sometimes it's about looking at what the workforce is going to be like in 10 years. And as educators, we're not always in those conversations with career workforce to know what the changes are. So we might be thinking we're doing what's best for kids with the information that we have. So one thing that Grandview is really focusing on, we just added a new position, a workforce coordinator, career coordinator. And we're talking about how do we build these experiences like the labs and guest speakers and offsite internships? How do we build that K-8 so that when they're in ninth grade, they really know the path that they could potentially take based off of who they are as a person? So that is one thing that I'm excited to look at these innovation labs as connections to a certain area of a workforce that maybe our teachers, our parents, our students are not aware that's a possibility for them.
Yeah. And I think that's a really innovative way to think about this because we know, right, that if we can give kids opportunities to experience and explore a lot of different topics and a lot of different things before they get into high school, then suddenly they really will know exactly what I'm interested in, you know, and the direction that I want to go and the internship I want to take or the opportunities that are being afforded to me through my school, my educational program, whatever it happens to be, that I'm actually ready to embrace that thing. So I really, really love that, thinking about using this as a mechanism to be able to honestly scaffold kids to be ready to make their own life choices.
Well, and I think the PASS Foundation is so connected to the workforce. You guys help us in that sense also. Who are the people to be following? Who are the companies that we should partner with? That has been useful too.
Yeah, I appreciate that. So that's awesome. So I also want to spend a little bit of time sort of just thinking about, you know, pie in the sky. So when you think about the opportunity around a project like this, which for the sake of our listeners is, this is a really, really big lift. As an organization, right? It's incredibly time consuming and expensive, and it's just a lot, right, to do this. And especially at scale, which we're working on right now, figuring out scale to make this at minimum statewide. And we have aspirations to do more with it than that. So all of that just to say, it takes a lot of moving parts. But we do not do this work in a vacuum. We don't do anything at PASS as part of our core philosophy. The P in PASS stands for partnering, right? And so we don't do anything on our own. And with that in mind, for us really to sort of move forward, we rely on the educators and the partners that are in the weeds on this project with us to help us know what we should be doing next. So as you sort of think about the opportunity and the way it's being deployed and utilized in your own district with your teachers and the folks that you are supporting, what does this project need to do for you that it might not be, or it may be a particular topic that's not one of the 40 that you're like, oh my gosh, we really want something in this space?
So that's a really great question. And within the labs themselves, the only thing that I could suggest, because they're so good, is we have like a half hour session with students. Mm-hmm. Then we have like the teacher classroom experience. And then we have like the guest speaker go look at that in the real world experience. So if you're looking at like another layer, potentially having like tier one, you know, with this box is like, if you're a teacher who doesn't want to take it on for so many weeks or a week, here's like 45 minutes. I've been kind of rolling around this idea of like hacking sub plans. So sometimes sub plans, being absent as a teacher, it's not planned. Sometimes it is. But what if we had an innovation lab ready and teachers make it so user-friendly that any substitute who doesn't maybe have a whole lot of prior knowledge could open up this kit and it's like something to use? So that's more me. I'm thinking about how I can make some of your guys' boxes in our district available all the time.
Mm-hmm. And we are working on that because we've had that request. I had a school district say, can we buy all of them? We want a set of all of them grade appropriate, right? That when we want them in each of the buildings. And I'm like, okay, we're not quite there yet, but yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Even if it was like, so I'm actually writing a grant right now, and I'm hoping that we get it, and then I can make some of these innovation kits that we use all the time in-house with that funding. The other thing is, I know that you guys do a lot of professional development, and you may already do this, and I'm not aware of it. But if you took that concept of an innovation lab and they pulled a standard or a learning unit, it just needs amplified.
Mm-hmm.
And they could do professional development where they create a box. I keep saying this box because mm-hmm. I do pick them up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you tug them around.
Yeah, yes. Tug them around.
And they're literally in these big, giant plastic totes, right? Yeah. So for the sake of understanding what Jessica's talking about, these are literally innovation labs in a box, in a tote.
It's like the bat signal when I bring them to the schools, like the kids see them. They're like, oh, we know what's about to happen.
We know what this is.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I love that.
Yeah, it's the bat signal that's... And they're actually Batman colors. Yeah. They're black and yellow. So I think if you could look at teachers and say, hey, you know that unit that just doesn't work?
Mm-hmm.
Let's amplify it with an innovation box or an innovation lab.
Mm-hmm.
And you guide teachers through, or you guide professionals like me as a coach through how to develop that PD with my teachers.
That's a great idea. And I think completely doable. We do a similar PD called Teach Your Passion. And it's literally bring in a lesson you either love and you want to make it better, or one that you hate, or it's just kind of okay, and you want to make it better, right? So we have a process already where we work folks through that. And I think doing it based on adding in an innovation lab into it would be an easy lift. So that's awesome. I appreciate that suggestion.
Yeah.
That's a really good one. Okay, so I guess my next question for you is, you've used these quite effectively in your traditional classroom settings, in your STEAM lab, you know, in other sort of places within the academic year. Have you deployed this in the summertime, in out of school experiences or enhancements for students? Just curious.
Yeah. So we have a kids club coordinator that we worked with, and we took the concept, but we did Ozobots with Drive Ohio this summer, and we thought about the 3D printing. So we're right there, but we want to be able to use them with Kids Club, which is after school and during the summer, because again, the kids now know it.
Yeah.
And so it makes it easier to manage. But with outside the school day, I would see a partnership potentially with Grandview Heights Public Library. We work very close with Parks and Rec. It could be Franklin Soil and Water.
Yep.
Sweco. I feel like those companies that we already kind of connect to in different avenues, even if the boxes didn't have a theme, like it didn't say Good Night series, but it was like the Sweco box.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Drive Ohio box. Yeah. And then I have a QR code that kids can watch a video of somebody from their company, you know, explaining what they do.
Yeah. The video piece to the company is great. We do have a Sweco box. We do have a Drive Ohio box. No, that's perfect though. I mean, because that's exactly, we have a Bath and Body Works box, the Science of Fragrance. I don't know if you've done that one yet. That one's super fun. The kids get to make bath bombs. It's awesome. Cool. But those are really, really great ideas because they tie the science, if you will, or the application of what's going on with that box back to a local community partner or industry that the kids have already had experience with, or they will down the road. And I think that's one of the other things that we really love about this project is being able to take on the idea of that, you know, locally relevant opportunity to make those ties, especially as we think about as kids get older and the opportunities for internships, apprenticeships, or workforce development, right? You know, to have them be familiar with, I know what Sweco is. I know what Drive Ohio is. I know whatever the local business and industries right in and around my school are, what they do and how it might relate to me or what my opportunity is. That's a really great growth opportunity out of something like this.
And also, you know, the students that are going to leave our hallways and be out in the real world, for these companies, these are potential employees.
100%.
So they're, you know, looking at it, how are they gearing up for their success as well?
Yeah, always. So I always like to be mindful in these conversations that folks listen to Learning Unboxed. They're coming to us from all over the world. They may have a whole host of different, you know, opportunities or lack thereof within their own communities. And they're sitting here listening to you and I talk about these crazy ideas in a box that were a lot of fun, that the kids love. They feels like Batman is coming to their school. So how would you, or what advice would you have, I guess, for an educator or, you know, folks that are looking to employ something like this just to get started? And obviously, if you're in Ohio, you can reach out to the PASS Foundation because we are in the process of making this available across the state. But if you're not here and it's not yet available for us to ship it to you, and you're just thinking about incorporating these kinds of ideas, what would you tell that educator in terms of how to get started?
I would say at the heart of all of these labs is this idea of inquiry. And no matter what subject area or what grade level, that process of critical thinking and creativity can be applied to any grade, any subject. And so I really want to challenge you, whether you're a coach or an educator, to think about the first 20 days of school. That's where we are right now, actually. And you don't need to jump right into the curriculum. I know it feels like there's not enough time, but I think even if you're going to get started somewhere, incorporating the STEM inquiry process into the first 20 days, you're going to learn a lot about your students. Mm-hmm. They're going to learn a lot about each other. It's going to give you a lot of talking points about communication, collaboration. When we sometimes as adults get out of the way, we don't put a ceiling on the students' creativity. They will shockingly surprise you. I think we all know that, but it's like when you really do see what they can do. They, by the end of some of these innovation labs, were showing me things or talking to me about things that I never even considered as an adult. So if it doesn't feel safe in your curriculum, think about the first 20 days or think about the last 20 days. I think that's an easy start to incorporate STEAM no matter what you're teaching and where you're teaching.
Brilliantly said. Yeah, that's really tough to follow, honestly, Jessica, because that is exactly what we want people to be thinking about. So I appreciate you recognize that sometimes it's hard. It's hard to get started. Sometimes it's hard to just like dig in. So I really appreciate that. Jessica, I want to thank you very much for taking time out of your day to join us for this conversation, to share with us your experience of utilizing the Portable Innovation Labs. And we really, really appreciate your thought partnership. But more importantly, we really appreciate you rolling up your sleeve and being part of this journey with us. And we're excited to see what you and Grandview Heights School District are doing with Innovation Labs this coming year. So thank you so much.
Yeah, I feel giddy about it too. I'm ready for year two.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you for joining us for Learning Unboxed, a conversation about teaching, learning, and the future of work. I want to thank my guests and encourage you all to be part of the conversation. Meet me on social media at Annalise Corbin and join me next time as we stand up, step back, and lean in to reimagine education.